Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Yes, even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
Father, may we hear your voice this morning. May our hearts be open. May we not be distracted by the worries and cares of this life, by what's going on at home or at work or the holidays coming up, but may we be, Lord, so focused on hearing from you, listening to your word this morning. Father, may you speak, and may we have open ears to hear what you have to say. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next week, also, the children will be performing. That will be part of our Christmas service, and the kids will be singing next week, and so excited about that. And then I'm not sure who's on the calendar for nursery next week, but Samantha said that the nursery kids will be welcome to come into the children's church next week. So whoever has nursery next Sunday has nursery off, because I guess what they're doing with the children next Sunday morning, she said the nursery kids will be welcome to be in with the children's church class. And one other thing before we get started, if I can get a few of you guys to help me after church to carry some of the heavy chairs in Taylor Hall down to the gym, and I need two more tables down there. I would forget to say that if I wouldn't have said it right now. So last week, I know we had some folks out of town, some folks wasn't here, and but last week we talked about, we've kind of been going along with God's purpose in our life, God's purpose, and we talked about producing fruit and keeping with repentance, and that's what John the Baptist has said. I don't know how many of you remember last week's sermon that was here, but that was last week's sermon, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And so part of the producing fruit in our purpose, I think, is going to go right into today's sermon. And what I want to talk to you about today is about being a giver, okay? I want you to understand I'm not pressing you for tithes or offerings. This is about your life and being a giver, okay? And a lot of times during the holiday season, what are we doing? We're giving. We're giving gifts to our children, to our coworkers, to our friends, you know, and it's just this time of season. I was in a commercial when I was 16 or so, and my line in the commercial was, Christmas is a time for giving. And my brother still makes fun of me to this day about that commercial because I look like such a, what's the right word? There's probably not a right word to say in church. Like a goober, I guess. You know, I just was not, I was in that commercial, but I still remember my line. Christmas is a time for giving. And so this morning, the message is Christmas is a time for giving, okay? Proverbs, we're gonna be mainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll get there in a minute, but Proverbs 11, 24 through 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Y'all hear that? If you give freely, yet you gain even more. But so often, what do we want to do? We want to hold on to everything that we have, everything that we are, and not really share and not really give. Acts 20:35, it says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Like I said, this is not a message on tithes and offerings this morning. What I want to ask you today is, are you a giver? And a giver is so much more than just money. It can be money, but it's so much more. Are you a giver of your time? You know, really, a giver of time, giving of your time is more valuable than even money, right? We can never get back our time. And once you've given your time to someone, that shows how much you love them. That shows how much you care about them. That shows that they have value in your life. Are you a giver of your time, or are you greedy with your time? Do you want to make sure that you have your time for yourself to wind down. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I have an aunt that comes down from Michigan sometimes and stays with my mom, and it's just her. But sometimes she'll go in the other room by herself when all the families are visiting. It's like, what's she doing? She just needs time away from everybody. She needs her space. She needs her time. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying here, okay? But what I'm saying is how many of us are so consumed with our wants, our desires, our kids, our things that we're never willing to give of our time to anyone else, to help anybody else. Are you a cheerful giver? It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when some of us went, been a few months now back and helped the flood victims. Y'all, we were working hard, but I had so much fun that day because all the guys was together hanging out, doing a work and helping somebody. And it was fun giving. Even though it's hard work, it's fun giving sometimes. And so to be a giver of your time, to be a giver of your words. How many of you ever have thought about complimenting somebody or saying something nice to someone or praying for someone, but you just hold back? You know, sometimes people need to hear that. Sometimes people need to hear that word of encouragement, that nice thing that you have to say to them, that thank you. Are you a giver of your words? Are you a giver of your money? Of your things? If someone wants to borrow something of yours, are you greedy? Do you hold back? Are you saying, yeah, take it? You're more than welcome to use it. It all comes from the Lord. You know, I've had people in my life that I know that don't ask them to borrow anything. There's somebody in my life that they are so, they're not a selfish person, but they're so reluctant to loan you anything that they'll even go and buy you something instead of giving theirs. It all comes from the Lord, right? Are you a reluctant giver? How are you doing in that? In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You think about your giving in the Word of God. You know, I wonder how many of us are studying and gaining knowledge, but we never share it with anybody. We don't share it in Sunday school. We don't share it on Sunday nights. We don't share it at work. We don't share it with our spouse. We don't share it with our mom or dad. And we're gaining all this knowledge and all this knowledge. You know, sometimes it's good to hear what God's showing you in your life and to be even a giver of what God's doing in your life, because what He's given you can go to further and help others around you. But so many of us, we hold everything in. Now we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You hear that? In severe trial, in extreme poverty, their joy overflowed into rich generosity. Most of us, we give out of our abundance, right? We give when we have a little extra time. We give when we have a little extra money. We give when we got it to give. But out of poverty and out of distress, do we give? Not usually. Do you know what I'm going through in my life and you expect me to go and work the nursery? You know what I'm going through in my life and you expect me to call someone and offer them encouragement? You know what I'm going through in my life and you expect me to help that homeless person? I'm almost homeless myself. But out of their poverty, out of their severe trials, it welled up rich generosity. Verse 3 says, For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Even beyond their ability, they gave And it wasn't that someone's urging them or whatever. It was on their own that they seen a need and they helped and they did. Y'all, some of you I know have that gift of seeing needs, and you'll just help. And you just help, and you're givers, and you're willing to give. Maybe this message is hard for me because I'm more of a reluctant giver. I'm just being honest. I weigh things out in my mind and justify not giving or justify giving too often instead of just being willing to freely give. Verse 4 says they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. You hear that? They pleaded with us to have the privilege of sharing. What are we usually, if someone's asking us to give, we don't look at me, don't look at me. You ever been at the stoplights, and everywhere you go now there's people there standing with a sign, and what do? You don't want to make eye contact. They look at me and they're, no, you know, you're scared they might make eye contact. And if they make eye contact, then you really start feeling guilty. And then here's a quarter or here's a dollar or whatever. But think to have the desire to say that it's a privilege to be able to give, to be able to help. I'm not advocating giving to the people standing on the street signs. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not against it. I'm not for it. It's a battle of mine. It's a struggle of mine. I went to Fort Smith Thursday, had to do some last minute Christmas shopping and everything. And the woman, Colton and Casey, the lady that stood on 271 for forever, right across from Burger King, she's moved to Rogers Avenue now. She's still there. But this lady stands out there. She's been out there for well over a year, because last year when it got super cold, I was going to go pick her up because I thought if she's truly homeless, she don't need to be outside, and I couldn't find her. I don't think she's homeless, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, what I'm saying is Mitzi has talked about it, and on United Way website, there's a place you can go and print off cards to hand out to anybody standing on a street corner, and it gives them the name, address, and phone number of where they can get help. Okay? I'm not saying give, I'm not saying don't give, but if you feel guilty and you want to go to the website, print off some cards, hand them out. And like Mitzi said, you can give to those organizations and they will make sure people are fed, make sure they're clothed, make sure that they have shelter, okay? But anyway, to just have a heart though to be generous and to count it a privilege when we're able to help. When you're able to give, they pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Y'all, there's obvious areas in our lives. I'm not talking about the people on the street corner, but there's obvious areas in our lives that we can give, that we know that it will be fruitful, that we know that people need help, that we know that we can be of a service. And that's where we need to be looking for those opportunities and count it a privilege to share, count it a privilege to be able to give. Verse 5, And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. See, first of all, we need to be giving ourselves fully to the Lord. That's what we've talked about the last several weeks of God has a purpose. God has a plan for our lives. And then once we understand that we belong to God, then we can give ourselves to others in service and in work. There's people here today, and they just blow me away with how awesome they are with their time, with their abilities, with their talents of giving and helping. Are you a person that is willing to give? Verse 6, so we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part, but just as you excel in everything. I looked up at excel. Do you know what excel means? To excel? to abound? To have plenty? But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, when I read this, I don't feel like I excel in every area. But I should. And you should. In this time of year, you know, it's in our minds, it's in our hearts to give and to thank people and give Christmas gifts and tell people how much we appreciate them and how much we love them. But shouldn't that be a year-round thing? Shouldn't that be something that we do daily in giving? Like I said, of not just financial thing, but of our time, of our love, of our compassion. Verse 8 says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. See, when we think about our giving, we can't outgive what Jesus has already done for us. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live with self-control, upright and godly lives in this present age." And so I could preach sermons on this right here. I think I have before, but what God has given us, it teaches us to say no to all these worldly desires while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. See, I think in this Christmas season, in this time of thinking about giving, we need to remember what Jesus Christ gave for us. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people willing to do good. And willing to do good is to give of yourself. Remembering that giving ourselves to the Lord first and then to each other. Our time, our abilities, our finances, whatever is needed to give. And not reluctantly, but to give. Verse 10 says, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10, "And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so." You hear that? To have the desire to do so. "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." Did I lose y'all there? It's the willingness to give. Not how much you give, but it's the willingness, it's your heart, it's your life. When I was reading that, and I thought of Cain and Abel brought the fat portions from the firstborn, but Cain just brought some fruit, and so who was acceptable? It was about the heart, it was about what you're willing to give. Are we willing to give God our best? Is our hearts right? Is the willingness there that, God, I may not have millions, I may not have all this time in the world, but what I have, I give to you. What I have belongs to you. How many of you have done stuff that you really didn't want to do just because you knew it needed to be done? It's funny, we were talking about people last night, not like talking about people like but we were talking about cleaning houses and things like that, and Amy and Crystal was recalling a babysitter that they had, and that she was going to make a macaroni and cheese, but they had no clean dishes to make the macaroni and cheese. So the babysitter just said, well, I guess y'all's just going to go hungry because she wouldn't wash a dish. You know, sometimes stuff just needs to be done, don't it? Sometimes you got to do the dishes. Sometimes you got to clean the house. Sometimes you got to, you know, you got to do what you don't want to do. But if our heart's right, God's looking at our heart in a willingness. Father, I belong to you. If you jump over to chapter 9 here, verse 6, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, maybe right now you're saying, Pete, I give and I give and I give and nobody gives back. Really? And if that's a really, like, yeah, really, I'm not lying. Well, you'll get your reward someday, I promise you. God doesn't forget. But then I wonder how many of us are looking around going, nobody does this for me. Nobody does that for me. But we don't sow. We don't give. We're sowing so sparingly that people don't have an opportunity to give to us. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Okay, that verse right there, I struggle with that sometimes, okay? Because have y'all ever been to a church service? I've been to some different ones, a revival going on or something, and you get there and you think, man, I got my lunch money or I got this, and so I'm going to give a 10 when the offering plate comes around. But then that evangelist gets up there and, buddy, he's fired up and, woo, you're all just shouting hallelujah and you're all excited. And he's like, now we've got this to give and we need to do this and we need to do that. And all at once, woo, I need to empty out the wallet. Did you hear the verse that I just said? Let me read it again, okay? I don't want to misquote here. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I struggle with that. So if I get excited when I'm hearing that evangelist and I hear about, you know, wells that they're digging for people that need water, or an orphanage that they're supporting, and I empty out my wallet, was that under compulsion or was that the Holy Spirit? And I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to mess with y'all's mind this morning. It's just a verse that I struggle with sometimes because I've been there. Okay, I've made up my mind, this is what I'm going to give, and then I get there and I get excited and I empty out my wallet. Or, I must confess, I've been there before and I really didn't want to give. And then what? The reluctance. You think about that person standing on the street corner and, you know, are we doing any good in ourselves? When we, I got to give, I got to do this, I got to, you know, they made eye contact, oh no, you know, I got to give them that dollar. Is that really a blessing to us? Or someone makes you do something, okay, I'm talking about financial here, but what about your time? You're reluctantly giving. What if, it's been a while since I've made y'all do anything, but you know, when we've gone to Salvation Army and fed before, I don't want to go, but I have to. Everybody else in church is going, and if we don't go, then they'll be... Is that a blessing to anybody? No, it's reluctancy in your heart. Our heart has to be right. Our heart has to be in it. See, this goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, I think in all of our giving, it boils down to where's your heart at? Are you happy to give? Have any of y'all ever given Christmas gifts to somebody and they acted like, Does it make you feel very good? No, it don't. It makes you not want to get them anything anymore. But you know, if someone gives and if you give a gift to somebody and they're excited and they jump up and hug you and they're so grateful. You know, what we've done the last 2 years, we're going to do it again this week, is the youth, the church pays for it. It's an outreach of the church, but we get these gift cards and we just walk around. We usually go down to the park downtown where the lights are and we just walk around and pass out gift cards to people and tell them Merry Christmas and Jesus loves you. And it's so funny, the reactions. We had one, this little Asian man, he wouldn't take it. No, no, no. And he kept hand. No, he wouldn't take it. Don't give me that. And we've had some people. I remember this one lady. What are you serious? And it's a $10 Chick-fil-A gift card. But she was like so excited. Woo! You know. And then some people just like, you know, they have no reaction. Well, of course, you hope everybody's reaction's like the lady. Woo! You know. But it shouldn't matter what their reaction is. That's the point I'm trying to make. What matters is where's our heart at when we're doing, when we're helping, when we're serving, when we're giving. To be a cheerful giver, not in reluctance of, well, the pastor's making us do this, or, you know, any of y'all ever been made to do something and then after you do it, you're so glad you did it? Wow, that was so much fun. Or I was so blessed to do that. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, today you may say, Pete, I just don't have time to give of my time. I don't have the finances to give of my finances. I don't have, whatever. Fill in the blank. I don't have. But I'm telling you that if your heart gets right and you become that cheerful giver, that God says that He'll make whatever it is that you're lacking abound for every good work. Sometimes I question myself. I'm going to go long. Years ago, when I first got saved, it almost felt easier to give than it does now. And I don't know if it's the wear and tear of being around people or what. And you guys know what I mean if you've been a Christian for very long. But I remember years and years ago being able to bless a family that lost their job with a very significant blessing. And I remember years ago being able to lend things to people. I don't want to go into too much detail. And it was easy. And now, sometimes I think the desire is there, but the ability's not there. The cost of living, whatever's gone up. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, have I not been a good giver? And that's why I'm lacking now. And when I say lacking, that's probably the wrong word. I'm not lacking. God's blessed us. I'm not lacking, but the ability to just give and the desire to just give and the cheerfulness to just give. Y'all, this message may not be for anybody but me this morning. And to get my heart right and get my life right to where I can just give. I went the other day and picked up pizza and it was a curbside service where they brought the pizza out so you don't got to get in. And I just texted Amanda about the gift cards and everything else, you know. And the waitress brings out the pizza and you sign the little thing, give them your card and all that. And then she goes back in. And as I'm pulling out, it's like, I didn't tip her. It didn't even cross my mind to tip her. And here I'm getting $10 gift cards to pass out on a special occasion with all the youth. And there I could have just blessed somebody and it not been a special occasion. Just bless them and say Merry Christmas. Here's an extra 10. Here's an extra 5. Here's even a dollar. You know? And I missed that opportunity. And y'all, that's where I think all of our hearts, well, let me correct that. That's where I think my heart, I need a refresher course in giving. Because sometimes I get so busy with giving of myself at the church, I forget there's a lot bigger world out there that needs people giving to it also. Are you a cheerful giver this morning? Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." There it is again. We just read in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you." Are we reluctant? Are we like Cain in our heart and we're just given out of duty, out of responsibility? Or do we look at it as a privilege? As a privilege to be able to give, as an opportunity to be able to give. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you now have it with you." Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to act. How many of us, when it's in our power and we still are reluctant and we still hold back? James 4:17 says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." You know, we look at sin and that's the prostitute. That's the person committing adultery. That's the drug addict. Those are the sinners. I'm not. But how many of us, we have opportunity to do good and we don't do it? And it says those who know the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. See, some of us, we're so consumed with our life and what meets our desires and satisfies us, and we want to make sure we have enough. We're never willing to give. You know, everybody's at different stages in their life. I remember when my kids was little, like many of you have little kids, and man, they take up your time. They need you all the time, and you know, you got ball games and you got different stuff and you're busy. And if you get a Saturday, I remember we would be so busy with our kids that there was times I couldn't even mow my yard. We were so busy and you're at a stage in your life. And then others are at a stage where your kids are out of the house and you have all this time, but then you don't really know what to do with it, and you start filling your life with other things or whatever. We're all at different stages, and so I'm not up here trying to tell you need to do this and you need to do that and you better start volunteering downtown and you better start being at every church function, everything that anybody says. I'm not saying that this morning, but what I'm saying is your heart right to truly give, that you're giving of yourself? To know the good you ought to do and you don't do it is sin. Matthew 16:24-25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And this is important here. "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Can I tell you that for many of us, we're holding on to everything so tightly, with our family, with our jobs, with everything that's going on, that we're losing. You know, we all have the same amount of minutes in the day, seconds in the day, hours in the day, but it's how we're using it. And if you guys are like I was, that sometimes you get so busy in your day, you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you don't read your devotional. You don't look for opportunities to bless others. You don't ask God, what's your purpose today for me? Who would you have me come in contact with? Who would you have me give to? Understand, when I say give, I mean in every area. Time, money, blessings, prayer. Prayer is one thing. I heard a preacher say this week, he was talking about his wife. And he said there's been countless times that he's got up in the middle of the night to find his wife not in bed with him, to go find her in the living room on her knees, weeping and praying over lost people. Y'all, that's time. That's giving of yourself. That's praying. Are you a giver this morning? I have one more thing, but I think I'm going to stop there. Y'all, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, shaken up, overflowing. But honestly, Jesus Christ has already given us the greatest gift. He's given us His life so that we can be redeemed. The blood of Jesus has come so that we can be redeemed. And so that we will be a righteous people ready to do His good work. God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. And I believe in that's in giving our life to Him. Most importantly, above anything else, have you given your life to Jesus? Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray that every person in this room has given their life to You. They've accepted the sacrifice that You have made. Lord, they've repented of their sins and they've turned their lives over to You and that they're following You. And Father, thank You for all of those that have. Thank You for dying on the cross for me, Lord Jesus, and for each and every one of us. And Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, I need forgiveness in my heart for the reluctancy, for the greediness that I've had with my time, that I've had with my money, that I've had with my abilities. Lord, the times that I knew the right that I should do in helping and serving, and I held back and I didn't do it, Lord. Help me to become that cheerful giver and to look at opportunities to serve You as a privilege. Not a burden, but a privilege. And Father, I pray that each and every person in this room would be feeling that same way and having that same prayer in their heart, Lord, where they've been holding back, where they've been selfish. Lord, that You would help each and every one of us to become the cheerful givers. Lord, in every area of our lives, Lord, may we be willing. And may we understand, Lord, that by us giving, that we're not going to lack. That where we give, that You'll cause the increase. You'll give us even more, even in our time, Lord, even in our time. In our finances, in whatever areas of our life, Lord, that You will give the increase when we're willing to give. May we all understand taking up our cross and following You. Understand what that truly means. And that we would die to self this morning and quit being drawn away by so many selfish desires. But that our lives, our hearts would belong to You. Lord, have Your way now. May we not get in a hurry here. May our thoughts not already have went to lunch and getting out of this building and hurrying down the road, Lord. But may our thoughts be so focused on You right now, Lord, in any of area of our life that we need to confess, that we need to get right. Have Your way now in Jesus' mighty name.
I need You more than yesterday. I need You more than words could say. I need You.
The Lord said that even a cup of cold water given in His name that He'll remember. And I want to encourage you to be givers. And I want you to also understand that maybe there's someone that you love. Maybe there's somebody you've been witnessing to. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a cousin, a brother, sister, somebody. But and it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. You know, sometimes people don't care until they know how much you care. And when you show them your time and your love, then all at once it becomes reality that this person really cares about me. And then they might care a little more of what you have to say about Jesus Christ. Let's be givers. In every area of our life. If all you can do is go home and sit in your chair and pray. However God would use you, be willing. With a cheerful heart, not reluctant. Sometimes the reluctancy is there, but the cheerfulness can still be there. I'm going to use Adam for an example. I'm going to pick on Adam. But it's funny because when we were going to help those people with that sheetrock, Adam had had a long week and he'd already committed to going. And he'd had a long week and he'd worked all week. And I think he got in late Friday night and he was thinking, I don't want to go tomorrow. But he got up and he went anyway. And then he was glad he did. Y'all, sometimes it's hard to get up and do it. But you just do it and then watch and see how God can work. Watch and see what God can do. And I know I'm looking at the face of many, many givers. And I'm so thankful for you. I could probably go around the room and name something about each and every one of you. But we don't got time. Maybe tonight we'll do that. No. Y'all, 5 o'clock we're going to eat. If you can't get there right at 5, come late. If you're going to be late, let me know because we will probably eat at first and not start games right away. And then we'll start games. So if you're going to be a little late and you let me know, I'll make sure you get on a team. We don't have that many games. Nobody has to sing tonight. I'm not making anybody sing, okay? Nobody has to do any crazy food that they're eating, okay? We're not eating any crazy food, but I hope we'll have a good time and just fellowshipping together. And like I said, $10 million we're not giving away, but we will have a good time this evening. And so 5 o'clock. If anybody can help with chairs, please grab a chair. I need two tables, those heavy chairs. Don't forget to sign up for the nursery, and we'll see y'all this evening.